Welcome to the Gunnersville Grassroots Podcast. It's early April 2024. The pollen is terrible and the wind is worse. I don't think I've ever seen the wind blow this hard this many days in a row. Unfortunately, Trey couldn't be here today. Tried to work it out to get him in on a call in our time and just didn't get together. We're going to keep it kind of short. We don't have a whole lot of tournament-wise going on until the casting and catching that comes up here in a few weeks. There are some events this upcoming weekend and the next weekend. You can check all those out at the bassandbigg.com website. Till then, let me see if I can't get our guest on today. We're going to have Mike Carter come on. He's got a pretty good story from this week that I thought we would share. We've got Captain Mike Carter on here with us. Mike's a longtime guide. He's been on the podcast with us here. This might be the third time, Mike. I guess you're just a yearly regular now. So
that sounds great.
Thanks for taking a few minutes to jump in here with us. When I called you earlier this week and said, "Hey, can you do it?" I had a kind of a different kind of guest lined up that fell apart on me. I'm still working on that, but Mike's always a strong backup and really never should be a backup because he's out there a lot. So Mike.
Yeah, I'm used to being down the bottom of the list. That's no problem.
You're not at the bottom of my list, man. We just tried to add a little variety around, you know.
Exactly.
So other than the wind, well, including the wind, tell me what it's like out there this week.
Oh, man, it's been brutal. I mean, absolutely brutal. It's been brutal all week long. The wind has just been absolutely horrible. Yesterday was a complete total disaster. Still caught several fish yesterday, getting in the backs of cove just to get out of the wind. But man, that wind yesterday, man, it was a disaster. Today is still pretty, it wasn't as bad as the last few days that we've had. But, you know, today was a little bit better. The wind had calmed down some, but had good sunshiny skies on us. So it worked a little bit better today.
Have we got a little more water in the pond than we had a week ago?
Oh, yeah, man, it's come up a lot. We must have gotten a lot of rain north of us for this water to come up as much as it has. I mean, it's come up to, you know, foot and a half, almost 2 feet. Wow. since late last week when it was down so far. Wow. But yeah, it's come up a lot the last few days.
And, you know, April 1st is technically, I guess you could call it plug day when they're supposed to start filling it up by the 15th in theory. But, I guess that rain timing was just a good help. So,
It definitely was. It's funny how that rain did, you know, it split, a majority of it went north, but it split kind of, you know, Gunnersville still got quite a bit of it, but nothing like, you know, north of us did. So that's why we're getting so much water down here now.
Still plenty of floating grass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. with the water being down, what that did, that killed a lot of the eelgrasses on the banks and everything. But, you know, when they raised the water back up, all that dead eelgrass that was around, guess what? It washed right back out. Yeah, exactly.
That's always fun. So. Oh, yeah. Has this dogwood winter that we're in right now had much impact on the fish, the water temp, all of the above?
Well, we've had a major spawn come in, you know, last week, about every pocket you went into would be full of beds. And so we had a big major spawn to come in, but you would think that this weather, the way it's done, would slow some of that down, but now they're still in there bedding, you know, getting the backs of those pockets, Cincos and plastics and stuff. You're going to see a lot of fish, which, you know, I don't look for bedding fish per se, but, you know, I take my clients. We basically get in these pockets just to get out of the wind, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you're in there, you're fishing for bedding fish. So then that's what they're catching. So
has the moving bait bite kind of come, has slowed way down? You're having to drag stuff a lot more?
Well, no, because today, that's all we threw today was, we threw a bull wake. I had a gentleman today catch one over five on a bull wake. So It's officially started.
It's early.
And it's funny. I pulled up a Facebook memory 1 year ago today, which was on Thursday last year. 1 year ago today, I had a gentleman catch one over five, and he had another big one to come off. And that was that group that the two guys that had 28 pound in their tournament that Saturday. So it's starting. So I was surprised today considering the weather conditions, bluebird skies, and that, you know, that cold snap that come in. But he had one over five. I mean, just annihilate that bull weight. So that was pretty exciting. But on the other side of that spectrum, that was the only strike he had on it. But
yeah. Was that an early bite or was it in the middle of the day?
No, it was about 9 o'clock this morning. So the sun was already up pretty good.
Yeah.
Everything else we caught today, or they caught rather, everything else they caught today was on the chatterbait. So he's taking chatterbait in 6-8 feet of water, just kind of slow rolling along.
So you were able to back out a little. Today. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
To all eelgrass still mostly, or are you finding some mix of stuff that you're catching them out of?
It's more eelgrass than anything, but what I look for is that mixture of hydrilla. You know, there'll be some hydrilla coming up along with these eelgrass patches. And I've got one area I like to fish. I haven't been able to fish it this week. It's a lot of eelgrass and shell beds mixed in with it, but it's been so windy we haven't had a chance to fish it yet.
There's a lot of the lake got a break this week between the weather and wherever the wind pushed the eelgrass, I imagine. So,
oh yeah. It's funny. You knew exactly where people were going to be when you get in the backseat, you know, behind the islands and the pockets and stuff, because there's where everybody was. Everybody was getting out of that wind.
Yeah. I tell you, the way it's been the last couple of days, my experience is you can kind of get out of it, but you can't really get out of it. You know,
A lot of it does just swirl right around on you.
So definitely not a friendly day to throw a Senko.
No, not at all. But that's what we caught them on for the last 4 days, you know, except for today. Never picked one up today, but the last 4 days, that's what we threw was a Senko, just more or less trying to get out of the dang wind.
Only if you have to pick it up, right?
Only if you have to, yeah. So, I got tickled. A gentleman called me yesterday, one of my clients, and he said that big 11-pounder that guy caught, you know, on Tuesday. He said, that guy really catch on Senko? And he said, yeah. I said, yeah. And he said, I know you don't throw one. I said, no, sir, I don't. And he said, many times I've been with you, I've never even seen a Senko in your boat. And I said, well, I had to this time just to get out of that wind, get behind these islands and stuff.
So I was just about to ask you about that. You made up, for those that follow me on social media, you probably saw some of it, but you had a gigantic fish get caught by one of your clients this week of 11-something. Tell us a little story about how that went down.
Oh, man, it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. Once again, just trying to get out of the wind, we went into this pocket. And it's, you know, these pockets, some of these pockets I've fished since the 80s. And this time of year, they're just always consistent. So I went into one of them just to get out of the wind. And I told the guys, I said, there's always a lot of fish in here, a lot of bed fish. And right off the bat, guy caught one about 3.5. And he lost one, but he didn't get to see it. It looked like a pretty good fish. Then they caught a couple more keepers. And the gentleman in the back, it was the first time he'd ever bass fished. And, I had to teach him how to use a spinning rod. So it's the first time he ever bass fished. He just never done anything like that. But when the Senko, I told him, I said, you just throw it out, just kind of just barely drag it along, twitch your rod every now and then, just take your time. And I always tell people, if you think you're fishing slow, then fish it slower. And sure enough, we were going down through there, and I looked over, and his rod was, bent double. I said, oh, you got one? He said, I think I've got one. Oh, he had one, all right. It was 11-1. So, and after going around the boat, under the boat, and everything else, we finally got it in. And, one of the hilarious statements that the guy made, you know, when I got it in, is, you know, is that a bass? Oh, yeah, it's a bass. It's definitely a bass.
Oh, my.
But on his side, he had never been bass fishing. So it was,
and he
that's
caught
the kind of people you enjoy seeing.
Fish bigger than most people will ever catch
in a lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, that's beginner's luck at its finest. It's like somebody going deer hunting and going, oh, I guess I'll go with you. And then they kill the biggest 10 pointer you've ever seen anywhere.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It never fails.
Yeah.
So, but
it was exciting for me, not only because, you know, it was a client of mine that caught it, but it's exciting to see someone like that. First time he ever bass fished, you know, he caught a couple of little fish before that, and then all of a sudden he catches that one. It's just like, you know, he was ecstatic. So it was hilarious to see that.
That's the biggest one I've heard of this year.
Yeah, it is. You know, they had one down waterfront that was 10-pound that guy caught crappie fishing.
Yeah, and he actually caught that below the dam.
Really?
Yeah. And see, when they started shooting that video, they didn't know that either. He had brought it up there to weigh it because he had signed up for the Bass Cash Bash. And, you know, if you catch one over 10 and you're signed up, then it's treated just like a tag fish. However, he signed up for all lakes. He was from Mississippi, and he just didn't totally understand the rules. It was really an innocent deal, and you know, he just thought he caught a 10-pounder. Like, hey, how lucky can I be? And it was 10-7. And then during the video, he said something about below the dam. So after that was over, they asked him, and he goes, yeah, I caught it below the dam, but I signed up for all lakes. And we're like, well, Wheeler's not one of them. So, you know, we would honor a tag. If you catch a tag below the dam that finds its way through the lock or whatever, we'll honor that. But a 10-pounder, that's just a different lake, you know. So, but there was nothing nefarious there. It was just a honest mistake and a great big old fish. So,
Well, you know yourself, we haven't seen very many double-digit fish on this lake the last few years, but I guess that kind of shows you know, the eel grass, though it is a bad thorn in our side when you see all this floating eel grass, but on the plus side of it, you know, all this floating eel grass prevents you from fishing a lot of areas, you know, that you know hold fish, and it's kind of hard fishing. So that's giving the fish opportunity to populate back up and gain some weight on themselves, you know. And on top of that, you know, Chris Lane, that Foodland tournament, has had a stocking program going for the last, I think, 3 years, I believe. He's had a stocking program going for that tournament.
At least.
Everybody gets a bag of fish, and they take them out and release them. So things are really getting back to where they, you know, where they were several years ago. But it's showing a lot more promise this year than what I've seen in a long time. We've caught a lot of good, solid quality fish this year.
Yeah, you know, the last couple of years, it's definitely been trending up. And of course, that 11-pounder, how old's that fish? 8 or 9 years old?
Yeah. That's why I was telling him, probably 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah. I mean, that one's been around for a minute. So I would like to think that the stocking thing works. Chickamauga has always shown that it does. Some of the Texas lakes show just ridiculous results from their Sharalunker and some of that kind of stuff. And yeah, I've been trying to get a little more information on that. Yeah, it is. And I would like to see the state of Alabama do something like that here and other lakes. I don't know that they will. I've had some conversations with one of the local biologists. I think it was the first season of this, maybe 2 years ago. And, you know, they say when they do their testing that some of the Florida genetics are still in there. And once they're there, it's not like you can add more. So I'm not smart enough to argue with that. So I really don't have an answer. That's beyond my pay grade. So looking forward, are we going to be in this same little pattern we're in right now for the next couple of weeks? Or do you think we're going to get a shad spawn going here soon? What do you think is going to happen?
I figure this little cold snap might put the shad spawn behind a little bit, you know, compared to normal years. You know, like I was looking at those pictures from last year, you know, guys I have with me, they were in short sleeve shirts, you know.
Right.
Here we got a good big cold snap. And you know yourself, Pat, that, you know, we basically have about 3 waves of spawning fish that come in. You know, this is a pretty major one where normally it's usually the smaller one, then the major one comes in next. But this has been a major spawn that's come in this time. They'll be spawning all the way up May, even in June. Like, you know, we'll still have some fish coming and spawning. So this pattern, it's like the bullbait pattern. It's getting ready to get fired up. When it does, man, it gets to be a blast. But these spawning fish, that pattern's going to carry on all the way up into, you know, into May, possibly even up into June.
Now, are you throwing that bullbait right now over the spawning areas and you just think they come up and bust it because of that? Or are you still kind of more like catching the transition fish doing that?
I'm for transition fish. I never throw that bull wake. You know, like I say, I don't focus on spawning fish themselves, but anytime I throw that thing, it's usually on these river flats. And today, most time I'm sitting out on the river throwing up on the flats, but today we were on the backside. And I told that gentleman, I said, that high drillers really come up. I said, why don't you throw a bull wake a few times and see how it goes? And he probably fished it about, I don't know, 10 minutes or so. And sounded like a 55-gallon drum fell in on it. I mean, it shocked me because with this kind of weather, I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. Was it a pre-spawn fish?
Yes, it was a pre-spawn fish. It was a good, healthy fish.
Wow.
Then, just a little while after that, his partner caught one over 5 on a chatterbait, you know, at about 6 feet of water. So.
Right. Okay.
But these are fish that are moving in, trying to move in.
So you're throwing that thing. I mean, you're fishing rattle trap water, essentially, even though, I mean, you're fishing it just on top, right? I mean, you're just reeling it right up the surface. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you try to keep it up there right at the top? Cause that thing will almost be like -1, but.
No, I try to keep it just a couple inches below the surface. I don't keep it on top itself. I have had days to where, it seemed like when it's sunny, real sunny, but even though today it didn't prove that, but you know, usually it's real sunny, I'll torque it up pretty good and reel it in pretty fast. So that way I get it down about a foot.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they'll eat it a lot better like that than what they put on the surface. Now, if it's cloudy, rainy weather, you can reel a little bit slower on top and make it wake real good. And that seems to be very effective.
But it's typically better on the dim days.
Get ready to turn on. Do what?
It's typically better on the dim days. On the like the when it's up high, keeping that bull shad up high, it's typically a little better on those cloudy, rainy, dim or low light days. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. You know, I do with this bull wake is that that thump gel is that there's a crankbait thump gel, and I proved this fact last year with a gentleman, and we pulled up to a spot and I had a 4-pounder on a bull wake. We were fishing together. I had a 4-pounder on a bull wake and lost it. And I had another one, you know, 2.5-3 pound, lost it. And I took that thump gel, that crankbait thump gel. It's got a lot of blue flake in it. Mm-hmm. Put it down the side, both sides of that bull wake. And I think the second cast I made, I caught one over four, his crossways in his mouth. Then I handed that gentleman my rod. And then I was tying on one that on his rod for him. With my rod, his very first cast, he caught one over six. Mm. Very first cast with it after putting the thump gel on. Mm. So it's pretty fascinating what had happened right there in just a short period of time. But that we sat there and caught fish after fish for a long time on that one little flat on that bull wake. And, you know, the first couple that we lost, but put that thump gel on, we didn't lose another one. So
interesting. So you just it put off enough scent that made them a little more eager to eat it instead of just nip at it. I guess
the you know, between the scent and having that blue flake going down the side and everything else, they wasn't no slapping at it. They were eating it.
That's interesting. On a hard bait. That's not what you normally expect.
On a hard bait, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So now I won't fish a bull wake without putting it on there.
Well, Mike, do you put it on your dingers?
I'm sorry?
I said, do you put that on your Cincos? Any kind of that stuff on your Cincos?
I put it on all plastics. Not that color. Now, I'll use the trailer gel on plastics. And the crappie, I'll use the regular original field of thump gel on the crappie. But I don't fish plastics or jigs or anything like that without putting that on.
How's the crappie fishing been on Gunnersville? I know you've done some elsewhere.
It's been slower this year than what it's been past years. I've been doing a lot of my crappie trips up on Chickamauga here lately, and it's been phenomenal. But it seemed like, I don't know if it's the eelgrass that's caused it or what, but this has been probably my slowest year of crappie. It seemed like it's declined over the last couple of years, actually. And then this year was, it's just one of those years that's a little bit slower than normal. Usually this time of year, I'm catching a lot of big crappie, but it's been slower than the normal past years.
So if the bass are spawning, the crappie are spawning or have spawned already, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're spawning or already have spawned. But generally the ones we caught last week on a crappie trip had already spawned out.
Interesting. I mean, it seems early, but it's really not, I guess. I mean, we've had summer, and then we've had winter, and then we've had spring, and then we've had summer, and then we've had winter.
Typical southern weather.
Typical southern weather. It just can't make up its mind. But the fish seem to think it's spawn time no matter what. So,
Exactly.
Well, Mike, I can't thank you enough. Appreciate you coming on, sharing a little info. That's pretty good stuff, as always. And
Anytime.
I'll talk to you soon, man. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thank you, man. Take care, man. See you.
Pretty good info there from Mike. He's always a great resource. We're blessed to have a lot of really good guides that'll really share information. I don't do a good enough job of talking to them sometimes. I'm going to try to do a little better of that and get a bunch of different ones on here, because you can learn a little something from everybody. Everybody's got a little different perspective on how they do things, and we've got a lot of good ones around here. So until next time, enjoy the floating grass. We'll be back soon. I'll try to have Trey with us. May have a little new news to go with it, too. Have a good week.